The Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.
Welcome to Local Flavor Live, a podcast about the food and drink scene in Baltimore. I'm your host, Lauren Cohen, and I'm very happy to be here today with the magazine's digital editor, Jess Mayhew. Hi, Jess.
Hi, Lauren.
How are you?
I'm good. I feel weird.
It's, I know.
My last day in the Baltimore Magazine offices.
I feel like listeners can probably like hear all of the sentimental vibes in my voice right now.
Don't cry.
It's bittersweet. I'm going to try. I think that's my challenge for the whole episode today, to try to make it through this podcast without crying.
You can do it. Because if you cry, I cry. It's a whole
thing. It might be just like a whole waterworks episode.
Yeah.
How are you feeling like overall?
I feel like it hasn't even really hit me yet. I mean, I've worked here for over 11 years. I started here when I was 23, and like I said earlier, I'm definitely not 23 anymore. So it's just, I've kind of grown up here, and you know, it's bittersweet because I'm really excited about my next chapter in my career, but it's sad to like say bye to people like you and just everyone I've gotten to know. So
geez, I'm already trying to hold it together.
It's so bad. But you are now going to be having this amazing promotion, which I'm so excited about.
Thank you.
Listeners need to know that Lauren is now going to be the digital senior editor, and really just taking over all my editorial duties, and I couldn't think of anyone more deserving. So congrats to you.
Thank you. It really, I think that that part really hasn't hit me yet. It's been more about just kind of like learning. Obviously, I've learned so much from you in the past 5 years, but like I think these last couple of weeks have just been trying to absorb as much information as possible. And then, you know, eventually it's going to be this weird thing where I'm just like, oh man, Jess isn't here anymore, you know?
You're going to be awesome.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I've been so lucky to have you for the last 5 years, like I said, and I'm also very excited to have you stepping in for Jane today.
This is like pre-scheduled. Jane was going to be on vacation. Yeah. I had said weeks ago, I'm happy to always step in when she's not here, and it just so happened to fall on today. So it kind of feels serendipitous.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm also excited to talk about your last print story with the magazine later in the show. But before we get to that, we'll go through some food news. We heard some great things from the Charmery this week. The Charmery, as many, many Baltimoreans know, is the quirky ice cream shop that has been on the Avenue in Hamden for years. They recently, within the last year or so, started to expand pretty rapidly. They moved into the Union Collective space, and they increased their production significantly. Before that, they were literally making ice cream in this tiny little cramped basement on the Avenue. So they moved into Union Collective. They then expanded with a storefront in Towson. And earlier this week, we found out that they're expanding yet again with a small but mighty, I'm sure, storefront in Federal Hill that's going to be on Cross Street, right across the street from the new Cross Street Market. So it's going to be a little bit of a different concept for them. They're going to be doing more of like a walk-up window, which I think will do really well there.
That's really smart.
Yeah, a lot of people are always just kind of like strolling around during the day, getting a drink, popping into places.
Yeah, and you want to kind of eat ice cream as you're walking around in the sunshine.
Yeah.
The ice cream shop right by us, Be More Licks, has an inside, but they also have those walk-up windows, and they are always packed with lines down the street. So I think it's really smart to do kind of a walk-up window concept.
Yeah, for sure. And I heard that when Pizza to Joey eventually opens in Cross Street Market, they're going to have a window too. So
even smarter. Convenient. For drunk kids to have slices of pizza.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
So lots of convenience there. And, you know, I'm really happy for them. David and Laura Lima, it was awesome. I had the opportunity to profile them in a story that ran, I think it was about a year ago at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just such awesome people. They're so creative. It's awesome that, you know, David is this kind of like he calls himself a master creamer, but he's just so creative when it comes to the flavors and what inspires him. And Laura handles the business side of the restaurant. She's a, you know, so interested in the industry, and she's such a veteran. So I think those two together, they're a dream team, and it's really amazing to watch them grow and shine in Baltimore. So look out for that towards the end of the summer. And then we also heard about this new, it's kind of a cafe, restaurant, bar, market concept in Canton. It's called Koi Loom. I hope I'm saying it right.
We had to look up the pronunciation
yes,
of this one.
That's right.
Is it spelled how?
It's spelled C-O-E-L-U-M.
Yeah, I would never have said Koi Loom if we hadn't looked it up, but yeah. That's good to know for
exactly.
People wondering.
But it, so the Latin translation for this word means sky or heaven. So it's kind of like a very tranquil, serene Garden of Eden theme in there with lots of lush greenery. So it's a restaurant, but also a bar that's going to focus on a lot of natural wine and cocktails. And then they have a market concept up front, which is something we've seen, you know, I know Jane and I recently were talking about Modern Cookshop, which did it. And there are a couple of other
Atwater's
Larder. Right. So it's always cool when people can leave a restaurant and take something home with them. But as far as the restaurant concept, you can look out for seasonal dishes like summer squash risotto, fried green tomatoes, and duck confit. And this is in Canton, so it's the former home of Gitan Bistro Crew. I've never been there. I had never been in that space.
I was in that space like maybe two bars even before it was that. But I remember seeing that Gitan sign up forever and being like, A, how do you say that? B, what is this? But I felt like it was open for years and years.
Right.
I just never went to it.
But, yeah.
It's certainly a great location. I mean, it gets tons of foot traffic. You're right in the heart of Canton, and I think it could a lot of potential.
Yeah, I love the corner bars in Canton. I feel like there's just literally one around every single corner, and they all have their own vibe, and they're very just inherently Baltimore. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this one will follow suit. Looking forward to getting in there, and it's officially open now if anybody wants to go check it out. And I know earlier we were talking about Cross Street Market. There's a new vendor there. It's a poke vendor called Ono Poke. I feel like poke is just so perfect for this like terribly hot weather we've been having.
That's true. This is the time of year to eat it.
Yes, very refreshing. So it's now open inside Cross Street Market. We've been talking about this a lot, but the market is staggering the openings of the vendors. I think most of them should be open by the end of the summer, but there's a good amount. I know the Sweet Shop is now open and Steve's Deli and lots of great things.
Is Ceremony open?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Uh-huh. So the poke spot, you know, really authentic here. That's the goal. It's the Hawaiian dish of raw fish topped with so many different things. Some of their signature bowls include a smooth and spicy bowl that has ahi tuna, spicy aioli, avocado, cucumber, and jalapeno. And then there's a lomi lomi bowl with salmon and citrus shoyu vinaigrette.
Say that five times fast.
I will not be able to. But yeah, that seems like a great one. And then be on the lookout. So Beachy, I heard, is supposed to open really soon. That's the Haitian vendor. Anula's Kitchen. Yes, they're so sweet. They're really great people. I'm excited for them. Anula's Kitchen is from the owners of Sobo Cafe across the street.
Right.
So that'll be great. And then the Rofo stall is supposed to be coming.
You can't go wrong with chicken in any, I don't care, stall, truck, store, just
anything. Yeah. Yes.
That's such a smart idea. They're doing things really smart there, it seems. And
yeah.
Can't wait till it's all kind of coming to fruition.
I know. It's so great to be able to see. And it seems like, you know, like that lineup, they were so thoughtful about curating exactly what they wanted, making it local, the old line bar that's going to be there.
Yeah, that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, so I'm so psyched about
it.
And
Broadway run for its money.
I know.
They're both just doing such a great job.
Yeah. But also I really loved, you know, for one of our last stories that we worked on together, we did this piece about basement bars earlier this week.
Yeah. Well, it's been so hot that, you know, we usually think, okay, alfresco dining, rooftop bars this time of year, but who wants to sit in a rooftop when it's like 95 degrees?
You're totally right.
Humidity, that's just gross. I want to go to a basement. I want like cool tile walls. I want air conditioning blasting. I want refreshing drinks. And we're lucky in Baltimore just because of our architecture to have so many of these like subterranean concepts.
Yeah.
And I've written this and edited this line a million different iterations over the years, but there is something about walking down the steps into a bar where you feel like you're just kind of doing something secretive, you're going to have a fun night, and there's nothing quite like a basement bar.
Yeah, I love that story idea, and it was so funny. There were some that I was familiar with and some that I had been to, and then some that we talked about, and I was like, I need your input. Tell me about the vibe here. One that came to mind was the Sidebar. We talked about that.
Oh,
we talked about Matthews, which has that underground space. So it was a really cool piece, and I feel like it's perfect for, like you said, this weather.
What's your favorite that was on the list that you've been to?
Ooh, I really like Melody. We talked about that. It made the cut because of the fact that they serve beer and wine.
Yeah.
That's a cool space to like sit and work. There's that awesome mural above. And then what else? I need to familiarize myself with this list, which I just wrote, which should still be in my mind. I know.
Fast it goes.
Right.
Well, we've had some fun nights at Mount Vernon Stable. Which
yes.
Was on the list.
Oh, my God. It was so perfect.
Yeah. Sugarvale is obviously such a
Sugarvale, yes.
Photo we used. You know, like you mentioned, Sidebar. I spent many of nights of my youth at the Sidebar, but it's obviously such a great place to see an intersection of Baltimore City that's like rarely around each other, like these government workers getting off of work and then these punk kids that are setting up for their shows.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's such a great piece. You did a really great job with it. And, you know, if it's going to be this hot out, you just got to go underground.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and the Brewer's Art. That's
yes. Oh, my gosh. Wait, that was like one of the like first ones that came to mind when we thought about this concept. But that's the coolest thing about Brewers. It's literally two completely different vibes upstairs and downstairs. But it's one of the things that has just made it so unique for years and years.
Yeah, one of the best bars in the city, hands
yes,
down.
Yes. That's awesome. Well, you know, I really am so excited to hear a lot about your beer agriculture story, which is going to be running in our August issue. It's a great one for you to go out on.
Thanks.
Do you agree?
Yeah, this is like my swan song or like my sheep song.
Oh, no.
Because it involves a lot of sheep.
exactly.
Yeah, I've been pitching this story for couple years now, but I'm actually glad that this is the time that it came out because it seems like the right time. Just a lot of things are coming to fruition for the local agricultural industry when it comes to beer. So basically, if you're paying attention to the local farming industry, it's been a real struggle. I mean, there's been tons of rain, which, you know, a lot of people attribute to climate change, and just it's really hurting crops. Dairy production is suffering because of people using more plant-based milks. So being a farmer in Maryland, it's tough. And so there's this alternative kind of avenue that a lot of these farmers have found, which is, oh, I already have barley that I'm growing, you know, on my farm, and I can malt that and I can sell it to breweries. I can sell it to distilleries. Oh, I can have a hop yard. Oh, I can sell fruit and corn and all these ingredients that I already have on my farm to brewers. And honestly, it's saving a lot of these farms. Mm-hmm. It's really, really cool. Not to mention a lot of them, since the law got passed in 2012, to have a farm brewery license, they're actually producing their own beer, too. And these tap rooms really are financially sustaining a lot of these places.
That's incredible.
To so many farmers. Obviously, a big standout, I went to Milk House, which is out in Mount Airy, and met Tom Barse and his wife and the brewer and all their animals. And it was just such a wonderful, fun day. I got to see how the sheep actually kind of graze the hops.
Wow.
I had no idea.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, so basically they can kind of, they think they're getting a snack. They eat the load of yeast off of the hops, and that actually opens up the hops so that the wind can blow through and blow any disease or spores off of them.
Wow.
So it's really mutually beneficial it's like a win-win for everybody. And so I got to meet a bunch of the sheep, and one named Merlin, who I saw a spot for. He's actually just a baby, so he's not doing the grazing just yet. He's still bottle fed. But and yet, you know, just seeing their family home is there, and, you know, Carol makes scarves out of the sheep's wool. It's just like this whole ecosystem that they have, and the beer that they produce, which is really, really good.
Yeah.
It makes it all possible. And their beer is like 90% all local. And there's tons of other places, other people I talked to, Manor Hill's another one.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's also really cool is the science behind it too. So University of Maryland and Flying Dog Brewery actually partnered, and they have this whole research facility where they're testing out hops, growing hops, and they're figuring out, okay, what can actually work in this weird Maryland climate.
Right.
Because it's super humid, lots of rain, like I mentioned, and so it's, you know, it's a lot easier to probably grow hops out in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
It's a little more temperamental, or a little less temperamental, but University of Maryland's doing a lot of the work for these producers to say, here's what you can grow, here's when you should cut it, here's how to stave off beetles, so they have a lot of really cool developments.
That is incredible. I cannot wait to read your story, but I honestly feel like I just learned so much from listening to you talk for a minute.
Sorry, I just like went off.
No, I loved it. What the amazing thing to me is, especially, and I know we talked about this the last time you were on the podcast, it's just how the beer industry is not only affecting entertainment and the way that people, you know, see drinks and things like that in the city, but like it has an effect on our ecosystem. It has an effect on the economy. And I think that's something that comes out when we, you know, see these trials that head to Annapolis, and when, you know, our champions in the beer scene are really fighting for it. It's like there are so many amazing things about our beer scene at large that are, you know, it's all coming to fruition, and it's a great time, you know, to be a brewer in Maryland. And
totally,
it's,
I mean,
just
it's
awesome.
It's a huge ripple effect, and you might have seen bumper stickers around town that say "No farms, no beer."
Mm.
And it's true. I mean, the beer that you are sipping comes from somewhere, and
yeah.
It comes from a farm somewhere. So why not make that farm somewhere that's only a half an hour away, rather than, because right now most of the hops that are in the beer that you're drinking are coming either from Canada or the Pacific Northwest, which is great, and they're able to grow these hops in large quantities, and that's realistic for these brewers. But the more we support the local farms, the more they can get to these big quantities, and actually we can start drinking beer and say,
yes.
Oh, you know, this tastes like a Ellicott City regional mm-hmm. IPA, and like that seems kind of crazy.
No, I can't wait for that day to come. Yes.
So why not?
Yes.
So, no, it was an awesome story to do. I was so glad to get the space to do it, and Jane Marion, editor extraordinaire, really helped me fine-tune it. Justin Tsoukalos took these beautiful photographs.
Oh, I can't wait.
I think we're going to run some extras online. So Danielle did a great job designing it. It was like a true team effort, so I was really happy with
and
that.
And a great last hurrah, for sure.
Yeah, no, I was really, like I said, it was a perfect story to kind of go out on.
Oh, I'm so excited to read it. Again, it's going to be in our August issue, so it's our Best of Baltimore issue. There's going to be lots of great things when that hits stands later this month. So Jess, I'm excited to ask you about your best bite. I'm just happy to have you on in general, but what was your best bite this week?
I feel like you guys have talked about Orto a lot on the podcast, but
it deserves the praise.
It's just an exciting place. They just recently started serving brunch. And my friend was in town from California, and she said, two things I want, steamed crabs and brunch at Orto. So we made both happen, this past weekend, and the brunch was great. I got, steak and eggs, which,
yum.
You know, kind of a diner classic, but obviously they sort of elevated it a little bit, and they served it with this, like, hot verde hollandaise sauce.
Ooh.
So it was kind of like a chimichurri and a hollandaise, like, mixed, I would say. Mm-hmm. And the steak, I love when they don't even ask you the temperature, because you know it's just going to be medium rare. That's probably how it should be everywhere. Because I said medium rare, and they were like, uh-huh, we know.
Yeah.
So the steak was cooked perfectly to order, and it was great. A little Aperol spritz on the side. Their brunch cocktails were awesome, too. Mm-hmm. My friend got rhubarb,
ooh.
Orange blossom, Prosecco cocktail.
Oh,
that
man.
It was really refreshing.
That checks so many boxes.
Yeah.
I love it.
In the summer heat. They also, there was avocado toast that was on the table that looked really good. And it's just a lovely place to start your Sunday morning if you want to.
Yes. And the service there is amazing. Like, mm-hmm. I know,
really
again,
good.
We've raved about it so much, but, you know, their servers just are really attentive, and many of them are industry veterans, totally. Mm-hmm. Like, they've come from so many different places, and they know so much about the wine list, and that's what service should be, you know, mm-hmm. when you go out, and it's just consistently stellar every time, so I'm happy you mentioned that. Mine was kind of polar opposite. I went to the Veranda at Broadway Market.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That Indian spot, right?
Yes, yeah. So it's kind of like a satellite location of the restaurant, which is based in Hamden, and I got these curry chicken tacos that were,
ooh.
Okay, so I like spicy, but like sometimes too much.
Not too much.
There's a very fine line, you know, where it's like, I can handle it and I can't handle it.
And then I'm sweating.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And this was like right there. Like any more spicy, I think I would have been like out, like down for the count. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just gets uncomfortable. And I hate the spice that just overpowers anything else that you put in your mouth. Like,
right.
If you can't taste anything, what's the point? But they were very, very good. I really liked them. And yeah, it was different for me. I don't have Indian food very often. And I like the street food concept. They have a lot of things that are portable if you're just like walking around the market and you just want to like taste a bunch of different things.
Yeah, because I don't know if I would like always be in the mood for like a full curry chicken dish.
Mm-hmm.
But in taco form, I mean, that's
easy
and yeah.
It's smart. But I love it there. Everybody, you know, who hasn't gotten over there yet, go check it out. It's a lot of fun. The bar on the inside is called Fat Tiger. It's from Phil Hahn of Doobies, and then outside, they're killing it with this El Tigre program.
Yeah, it was packed when we, because I went there recently. Yeah, too, yeah. And the whole patio was packed. They had bike party there last Friday.
Oh, fun.
Looked insane. Like, yeah. It just, they filled it up, and I love everything they're doing there. I love the old school vendors that are there, and I got pierogies from Sophia's. I mean, you can kind of do whatever you want to do in there.
Yeah, choose your own adventure, for sure.
Exactly.
It's definitely a best bite, for sure. Jess, thank you so much for coming. I mean, I feel like I want to thank you publicly for everything. Uh-oh, here come the tears.
Well, hold on. We have these, there's been these two Fireball minis in my drawer of my office, and I kind of feel like, because I was cleaning out my office, and I was like, I can't throw these away, even though Fireball's like Fireball and kind of gross. I was going to leave them for you because you're moving into my office, but maybe we should just have a little nib.
I would be honored. Like, I would be truly honored.
Just to toast to everything. Yeah. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. They were coming, so I'm glad you did. And all I'm right. sure these will help
Let's
for
not
sure.
Down the whole thing,
no.
Just a little.
Oh, this is very...
Last time I had Fireball, I cannot even tell you.
Was there snow on the ground? That's typically when I do.
I just feel like it's maybe been a few seasons, is what I'm saying.
Okay, can I do a toast to you?
Okay, that's fine.
Okay,
that's fine.
And I promise I will try not to make it too sappy. God. But Jess, publicly, I just want to say, you have taught me pretty much, I tell people all the time, you are one of the best teachers I have ever had, by far. You and Jane took a chance on me when I was 21, and I, you know, was... very, very, you know, I was a novice. I was starting out. And
you're a little naive.
I was so naive. I was so naive. I was trying to find another way to say it. But you guys really, you know, you saw potential in me and at times potential I didn't see in myself. And you took a chance. And now I have my whole career to show for it. And I really just appreciate every single thing that you have done for me here. And I can speak for the whole magazine when I say that this place will never be the same. I feel like there was an era. There was an era of Jess Mayhew. And we're all going to miss you so much around here. But we wish you all the best in your new venture. It's going to be so great. And I look forward to reading your pieces with Thrillist.
Thank you.
Cheers
well,
to you.
Thank you for being so easy to teach. And you've made a huge difference here. And like I said, there's no one I think to pass the torch more fittingly to than you. And for anyone that has not ever met Lauren Cohen and can't even just tell through this podcast, she's a true angel. So I'm
back at
that.
You, man. Back at you.
All right,
cheers to you. Oh, man.
God.
I wonder if they could hear
it's not that bad. If they could hear the goo goo.
Yeah. I wonder.
Oh, God. It's not great.
I think that that shot probably helped me get through the entire podcast without crying. They were coming,
oh,
and then
God.
I did it.
All right, well,
so good. I think I did it. There will be tears later, I promise. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm proud of you for making it through.
Yes, thank you a million times, Jess. I really am so happy that we could do this today on your last day. It's a wonderful way to just kind of commemorate everything. And oh God, here they come. All right, well, thank you everyone so much for listening today. You can check out, you can pick up a copy of our July issue, which is now on newsstands, and you can check out all of our food coverage every day at BaltimoreMagazine.com.
Local Flavor Live podcast is powered by AudioStack, which provides all the tools you need to host, distribute, and monetize your podcast.